Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Real bad bike accident, but today is 1 year, amen, that God allowed this situation, this event to happen that has changed. Amen. And so I don't know about you, but I'm happy. Thing. Amen. God is awesome. God is awesome. 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 And so God does the same thing for each and every single one of us. Amen. Amen. We've been through what we've been through to get to where we are. Amen. We've done some things differently. Amen. So that we could get some different results. Amen. And we've been faithful through our hardships and everything that God has allowed us to go through. Amen. Amen. Even when we failed, we were still seen as faithful. I hope somebody caught that. Even when we messed up, we're still seen as faithful. Amen. If you didn't catch that, ask one of your neighbors or get with me afterwards. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29. Amen. The weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 29. We read verses 7 through 14. And I know that there's a couple of folk might have went ahead and said, wait a minute, that sounds real good right there. Maybe I need to read a couple of verses before. Maybe I need to read a couple of verses after. But for the sake of time, I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to read one verse and hope that you would follow along with me in reading that one verse. That one verse is going to be the 11th verse. Amen. The 11th verse. I've heard testimony and I've heard people share and all that other kind of stuff of what's going on and what's happening and how fitting it is that God would allow that this would be preached here today. Amen. The 11th verse. And so if you're able in honor of God's word to stand, that would be a wonderful thing. If you're not, then that's fine too. But just a traditional thing that we do here just to show reverence to God's word, that when the word is read, we stand to our feet. Amen. Jeremiah 29 verse number 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Now understand who this is talking. This is not Jeremiah. Amen. Jeremiah is simply relaying the message that God has given to him. So although Jeremiah is writing it, he's writing what God is saying. Amen. So God is saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Amen. Come on, let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time and this moment, this opportunity, Father God, as we've come here and gathered in this place, Father God, to hear your word, that you would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would receive what thus saith the Lord, God. Allow your word to be shared in a way that you would have it to be done, Father God, here in this place, for we need you and cannot make it without you, God. So bless us that we would be blessed, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. May be seated. Look at my tissue paper, what you call thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So look at here. Jeremiah is, I don't know if you spent some time in reading Jeremiah, but if you're writing down a title for today's sermon, God's plan, his plan, God's expected plan, If you're writing down a title, you could write down. Let's see, we've already got a He's Got It. Don't when that go to Luke 1:37. He's Got It. God's plan never fails. God's. We got one of those too.
No,
we don't have that one. God's plan. Look, however it works for you. We talking about His plan. Amen. That's what we talking about. We talking about His plan. Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet. Jeremiah is a prophet that comes and he prophesies to God's chosen people before what a lot of times you hear theologians talk about the dark ages, the dark times, before God's people really go into idolatry worship and all other kinds of stuff. They've come out of bondage, out of the Assyrian bondage, and where the Egyptians tried to get involved and all that other kind of stuff. And now they're going into the Babylonian bondage under King Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah is sent as a prophet to speak to God's people. And as he's speaking to God's people, what Jeremiah is doing is that he's actually sharing with them what's already been shared. Now, one of the things that you'll find when you start to go through the book of Jeremiah, which will be different from some other books that you read and will be likened to some other books that you read, but Jeremiah is not actually in chronological order in his prophecies. And so Jeremiah might have a prophecy that goes back to back in his book, but it would actually be several years in between those prophecies that it actually happens. But Jeremiah's book is put together in a way that there's prophecies in there towards God's chosen people. You'll find that chapter number 52 of the book of Jeremiah is actually an addition that's added on later that actually shows where Jeremiah's stuff that he was prophesying about was actually fulfilled. Amen. Just to give you a background of how this book is put together. But I want to share with you today how we can apply this in 2015. And how we can apply this in 2015 is that if you take this chapter of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and you start to read through this 29th chapter, you'll find out that Jeremiah starts off talking to God's chosen people, trying to get them to get past their surroundings. Trying to get them to get past their current situations. Trying to get them to look past of how things might look on the outside, because he's talking to folk that are just going into, that are coming out of one bondage and going into another. Amen. Is there anybody that can testify, anybody that can agree that it seems like just as soon as I get out of one piece of mess, it seems like I'm getting right back into another. I just stepped over the line and I thought that on this side it was going to be better. But once I get here, there's issues over here too. Anybody ever felt that way? And so God's folk are coming out of bondage with the Assyrians, but now they find themselves back in bondage with the Babylonians, and they find themselves in this position yet because they still ain't doing what they're supposed to do. You can say ouch right there. So we find ourselves in some positions that we step out of one thing into another thing because in all actuality, there's some things we're not doing. There's some things that God's chosen people were supposed to be doing as far as honoring God and praying to Him and Him being their only one God. He's given them some commandments. He's told them some things to do, and this is what this, and they haven't done it. And so since they haven't done it, they've gone from one bondage to the next. Isn't it amazing, this you know, we go through different things. Let me talk about me. Isn't it amazing how sometimes, I know it's amazing to me sometimes in my life where I'm going through some things and when I start doing it God's way, how it lines up. And the things that's wild about it is that to go ahead and try to do it God's way, it's painful. It's painful. It's painful. Pray for your enemy. I don't want to pray for my enemy. I think I was talking to my children. We read the upper room every morning. Whoever rides with me, whether it's the boys or the girls, we read the upper room every morning. Every time we get in a car, I have the upper room right there and I pull it out. I say, I don't care who's riding with us. If somebody else, if your kid's going to ride with me, we're going to end up reading that upper room. And so we read that and we go through it. And I think we read through one that was talking about love your enemies. And my daughter Lindsay say, I don't know about that. She said, Daddy, look. she was just being real. And I had to give her amen, because I feel that way sometimes too. But when we actually start to do what it is God tells us to do, it's amazing how once we start praying for our enemy, once we start praying for, it's amazing how the situation starts to change. Amen. And that's exactly what happens here. Jeremiah says, look at here. I know we're in bondage. I know we're going through. Don't worry about where you're at, what you're going through. He said, go ahead and build your house. Go ahead and plant your garden. Go ahead and have children. Go ahead and get your daughters to get husbands and your sons to get wives. And go ahead and prosper through this period that you're going through. See, what Jeremiah was dealing with is that he was dealing with false prophets. He was dealing with folks that was coming along and they were saying, Brian, don't worry. Tomorrow it's all going to be better. Everything is going to be all right. And Jeremiah was sitting there saying, look at here, that ain't true. God says there's a consequence because I've done this, because we've gone through this as a chosen people, because we've gone here and we've done this thing. God says there's a consequence. And so Jeremiah was referring back, if you look back in the Bible, I believe it's in the 25th, write it down for your notes. I believe it's in the 25th chapter. You go back and look in the 25th chapter, maybe around the 10th. I'll tell you what, let's just go ahead and. Around the 11th verse, it talks about Judah's captivity. It says, and this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So he's referring back to something that was already said to God's chosen people earlier. But then there was prophets coming back saying, you ain't got to worry about 70 years. You ain't got to go through. Don't worry about it. It's going to all be all right tomorrow. There's consequences for things that we've done. There's consequences. But yet still in the consequence that we're going through, God has still afforded enough grace to still bless us. So Jeremiah comes and says, look, go ahead and build your houses. Go ahead and I understand you in bondage, but even in bondage, I'll give you peace. Even in going through, I'll give you peace. And so in 2015, we can take this same scripture and see that if God even was able to take care of folk in captivity, then he can still bless us while we're going through even our own stuff right now. You ever looked at your situation and said, well, I'm still in the midst of whatever I'm going through, but I sure enough feel good. Ever been going through some stuff and be like, you know, I know when I look at my bank account, it don't look like I want it to look. I know that my car, I might can't jump in a car and drive to Charlotte or go to Raleigh because, you know, I don't think my car really going to make it that far. I might look in there and say, you know, I'm looking in the refrigerator and today I feel like a T-bone, but I only see bologna. But, you know, I sure enough feel good. Would you rather have things or peace? And so a lot of times our flesh gets caught up on things. We get caught up on the car and we get caught up on the house and we get caught up on that. But I would ask you to go ahead and question yourself and say, would I rather have peace or things? Would I rather have my health? Would I rather my loved ones be okay? Would I rather my relationships be all right? Or have a shining watch? That no matter what I do to this watch, no matter how much I polish it, no matter how much I try to take care of it, eventually, it ain't going to shine like it used to shine. It's not going to have the same value to me. You ever get something brand new? Let's see. Back in the day, it was when we got white tennis shoes. Now, I got big feet, so I didn't get white tennis shoes too much because they made my feet look bigger. But when I did get it, for me, what was really it is when I got a suede pair of Pumas. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hit somebody up right quick. When I got them maroon, when I got them maroon suede Pumas with that white little Puma on the side, and it had the white sole on it, and I went ahead and took them shoestrings out there, and see, some of y'all was able to go to the store and buy the fat shoestrings, but I took my shoestrings out, wear them up real good, stretched them and starched them so that my original shoestrings look fat. My daughters told me that I wasn't cool this morning. They was like, "Daddy, you too old. You ain't cool no more." I was like, "Girl, you got your coolness because I'm cool. You better act like..." Okay. And so I take those Pumas and I go ahead and I spend all of that time and I'd iron those shoestrings out and I get those shoestrings right. I starch them out real good. And you wouldn't even tie, you know how we fuss the kids for not tying their shoes today. You ain't tie your shoe and then you have it to come through and you do like the first 4 or 5 holes and then you pull the tongue up. And then you go ahead and put the laces behind it so you just tuck, y'all know that, y'all. So we talk about kids sagging with their pants today. Well, if something was to happen, how was you going to run? Well, how we run with them shoes flapping on our... Okay, anyway. So that was for me. I had to keep them fresh. I had to keep them clean. I had to... And so when I was over at Lincoln in junior high, I'd make sure I walk. You know, so I ain't get my shoes dirty. You don't wear those shoes on P.E. day. You don't wear them shoes on P.E. day. And so you walk through the hall, you be like, "Yeah, what up, dog? What up? Yeah, how you doing? Because you got on the fresh shoes, right? I can't tell you where them shoes are today. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if they got dirty one day and I just ain't want them no more. I don't know what happened to them. But at that time, them shoes, that was a thing for me. And that's how sometimes we get our stuff and that's it. But I had friends in junior high, ended up going to high school, that got killed. I got friends that got in accidents, that got paralyzed and all that kind of, and God still allowed me to have my health. Which would I rather have, those shoes? And so God says, "Look, yeah, y'all going through right now, but I'm going to give you peace in the middle of what you're going through and what's happening." So he says, go ahead, be fruitful, multiply, do all these different things. Amen. Build houses. If you look at the beginning of verse 29, you'll see all of that. He says, do all of these different things. He says, verse 7, "And seek the peace of the city whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." He says, seek peace where you currently are. And even the ones that have you captive, pray for them that they would have peace. Because if I'm God, the God that I say that I am, and I've allowed someone to be over you, if they have peace, then in turn, you got peace. So now it makes sense to pray for my enemy. Because maybe my enemy that's jumping on me really don't have a problem with me. Maybe they got some stuff going on in their own life. And since they got stuff going on in their own life, I'm just catching some of the residue of it. Maybe if I just go ahead and pray for those that God has allowed to be over me, then in praying for them that they would have peace, then in turn, that peace becomes reciprocated. Now I have peace. Didn't understand it before. It makes a lot of sense to me now. Amen. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets or your diviners, those false prophets that be in the midst of you, deceive you." Don't let friends deceive you. Don't let your coworkers deceive you. Don't let some of the folk around you in your inner circles deceive you. This is how it's being applied to 2015. Y'all catching that? Because everybody that say this, your friend. Anybody got a testimony to that? Done lived on this earth for a couple of years and can say that. Everybody that say that they for you, everybody that say that they on your side, ain't really on your side. Some people, when God is blessing you and working it out for you, they hating on you. They throwing the shade. We talked about it, and I think we talked about it in Bible study. The way that it happens sometimes. And so if I'm trying to make myself look better than everybody else around me, but I'm not willing to clean up my own mess. That since I'm close to you, what I'll do is I'll reveal some of your issues to some folk that'll make it so that you don't shine so bright. And so if you don't shine so bright, then that makes my dullness look brighter. Did y'all follow me on that? And so that's how some folk do. They'll go ahead and throw off on other folks so that they'll start to look better, when in all actuality, their light ain't shining as bright as they think it is. Amen? Amen. He said, that being in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. I was like, wait a minute. So he's telling me early in the Bible, I can read where it says, you know, you'll have dreams and all this stuff. But he says here, but then I had to read it again. It says, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. I've been at work, and I've worked on a project so much at work that I've gone to sleep and I dreamed about work. Anybody ever done that? Anybody have a situation on your mind so bad that you'll go to sleep? You can't halfway sleep, but then when you do fall asleep, you end up dreaming about the situation because ye cause your dream. And sometimes we'll deceive ourselves into the fact of dreaming something and saying, you know, I dreamed a dream and God's going to work it. Jeremiah says, don't get caught up on the dreams that you've caused yourself to dream, because God says, I ain't seen that. God say, I ain't seen that. There's a process that we have to go through. And God says, I didn't seen that. Amen. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. Sometimes we're so ready to get out of a situation that God says, I'm going to allow you to come back around full circle because you didn't finish the work there the first time because you wanted to do it your way. And so I'm going to allow you to go through some stuff. I'm going to allow you to go through some stuff so that you can learn how to respond a little bit better. So you can learn how to respond and do what it is I'm telling you to do. So that you can go out here on your own and be caused to have to do it my way instead of your way. And now that I got you in a place that I want you to be, I'm going to allow you to go right back on around to the place that I was looking to bless you and deliver you in the first place. Now with a different mindset. You're going to end up going through some stuff to go all the way back. My grandmama used to say, you're going to go all the way around the barn to get to the front door. Instead of just listening and doing it the way I'm telling you to do it, you could just go straight to the door and do it. But now since you ain't listening and you want to do it your way, then go all the way around the barn to get to the front. And this is what God is saying, you know what? I told y'all how to do it. I told you as my chosen people, I got it set up for you. If you just listen to the way I'm telling you to do it, then it'll work out just fine. But since you weren't willing to listen and you was hard-headed and you wanted to do it your own way, I'm going to allow you to have to go through all of it. Have y'all noticed all of these sermons, how they going? I'm going to allow you to go ahead and keep doing it the way you've been doing it and see that you get the same results. So you'll finally say, I need to do something different. And so I'll find myself back in a place that I was, that I'll do it differently this time. I'm going to allow you to go through all the mess that you're going to go through, so that now that you've gone through, I'm going to get you to the place that I originally wanted you to be, so now that you'll respond differently. I'm going to allow you to go through all the hardships and all the mess and all the pain and all of that kind of stuff, and allow you to be faithful and to teach you faith that you thought you had faith. No, you're going to really have some faith now to allow you to get to where you need to be, because this is the place that I said I was. I didn't say I was going to bless you over there, but you want to go over there. I didn't say I was going to bless you over there, but you want to go over there. I said I was going to bless you right here. And so Jeremiah says, God says, I said I was going to bless you in the chosen land I gave you. But you want to go everywhere else, because you don't think this is where you're supposed to be blessed at. You want to go everywhere else and do everything else. He says, so I'm going to allow you to go on out there and do whatever else you want to do, but I'm going to speak a word to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah lets you know, even though you're in captivity, do what I told you to do and watch and see if you won't be blessed. Don't be so eager to get out of your situation. God wants to bless you right in the middle of it. How much more glory does God get when he blesses us in the middle of trials? When we're in the middle of it and can see that we're blessed, how much more faithful do we become towards God? He says to return to this place. Verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Not really that I think towards you like we might think thinking towards you, but God's saying, I know what I got set up for you. I hear your flesh saying that you want something different, but I know what I got set up for you. Amen. And if I was to go ahead and bless you with it right now, you wouldn't know how to handle it. Amen. And so when the time is right, I'll go ahead and bless you. As long as you can continue to delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But it's got to be a timing thing. There's a timing thing in how this goes. Because if you would have got it earlier, you wouldn't know how to handle it. So he says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I know what I got planned for you. And so since I got these things planned for you, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Notice he didn't say, I got a car set up for you. I got that 6-bedroom house with the jacuzzi in the bedroom, the pool in the back. It's got a 6-door garage. The garage got elevated. He's saying, that ain't what I'm talking about. But I got it set up for you that you'd have peace. How much clearer are we able to think when we have peace? How much clearer are we able to think when we have peace? And we learned in Bible study that If my mind is clearer, then that means that there's not confusion. And that if it's not confusion, then the enemy doesn't have the ability to mess me up and have me going all over the place. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Sister Tammy shared her testimony that after Bible study, she was tore up. After Bible study, she was tore up. She was tore up to the point that Bible study was over and we was getting ready to go, and I was trying to talk to her, and she was like, mm-hmm, Pastor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She just kept walking out the door. So I said, well, Lord, I'm going to walk out here with her. And so I walked out there with her. I said, well, you know, it's dark out here. It's late, you know, walking out here to the... She said, well, somebody else is in the car. I just got to... And so she kept walking to the car. We get out to the car. Ain't nobody else at the car. She said, well, I'm going to just be right here. And the Lord said, let her go. The Lord said, let her go. She was running. Am I telling it right? She was running. She was trying to get away. She was like, oh, I gotta. She called me later on, like she said, and one of the analogies, I'm not sharing everything, but one of the analogies that she used, she said, Pastor, she said, I feel like a train. He says, I feel like a train that has just gone down the track and it's got all these cars behind it, but suddenly the train has stopped. And all of the cars are now running into the back of it. And I don't know what to do. Everybody got that analogy? I said to Sister Tammy, I said, well, why did the train stop? I said, was there an obstruction in the way of the train? Why did the train stop? She said, I don't know. I said, well, did you just pull the brake? Were you the one that voluntarily stopped the train? She was like, yeah, I guess. Stop the train. I pulled the brake because I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Everybody know how a train operates? Does a train just get on the highway and roll? A train is on tracks. And so if a train is on tracks, that means the train has a guided. It has a guided route. And so someone else has taken the time to make sure that the train has the most efficient and safest way to travel to get to where it's supposed to be. It might have to go around the mountain, but some tracks actually they built a tunnel so that you can go through the mountain. But no matter it is, there's an expected time. Anybody ever rode on a train? For you to be able to ride on a train, they tell you that the train is going to be there at a certain time based upon the, God Almighty, based upon the track that it has to ride on, the speed that it has to, because in some corners it's got to slow down, and some areas it's got to speed up, and some areas it's got to pull a little harder to get up the mountain, but some areas it's able to coast down, but there's an expected end for the train to arrive at its destination. And so while we were talking, she said, yeah, I guess I've just pulled up the brake. I just pulled up the brake. I said, well, just release it. As she gave in her testimony, just let it go. Don't you understand that the cars that are crashing behind you, the cars that are crashing behind you, and so while you got the brake on, the cars are crashing behind you and they beating you up. But if you just let go, and now the cars, but if I pull up the brake, I don't know where to go. Tammy, you're a train. You're on tracks. You ain't got to worry about where you go. That's the same way God deals with us. He said, Jeremiah is talking to the people. He say, look, God has an expected end. It's not catching him by surprise. He already knows what you're dealing with. He already knows what you're going through. Just be obedient to his word. Just do what it is he's telling you to do and watch and see if it doesn't work out. The king during Jeremiah's time here, I believe he took over his kingship when he was 8 years old. 8 years old. If you look in chapter 52, the last part of chapter 52, you'll find out that he was later released. Honor was given unto him. Here he was in captivity. Here he was as a king. And normally when somebody came to take over, they killed the king. Not only did they kill the king so that no revenge would come back to him, they killed the king's kids. They killed the whole king's family and all this other kind of stuff. But for some reason, this king wasn't killed. If you read in 52, a little bit earlier in 52, you'll see that the previous king was killed. That his kids was killed in front of him and that his eyes were gouged out and he was placed in a prison. But not with the king during Jeremiah's time. After time had passed, he was delivered. He was taken care of by even those that were in charge of him. And it says that he sat and ate at the king's table every day, that he was given a place. I'm here to tell you that you're going to go through things and things are going to happen. God's got a plan. mama, daddy, you've gone through all of what you've gone through just so that your child can be where they are today. And so if you had to do it over again, would you still be willing to go through what you've gone through so that they would be where they are today? Whether you realize it or not, God already had it planned that they would be where they are. That they'd be happy. That they'd be enjoying it. But if you hadn't gone through what you went through, maybe they wouldn't understand what it is. So you had to go through and they had to see how you responded in it. I don't know about, I'll say my kids are spoiled. I will say it. My youngers are spoiled. Why do I know that they're spoiled? Because I spoil them. I don't spoil them to try to hurt them or try to harm them, but I try to give them some things that I didn't have. And probably sometimes in doing that, I err. I mess up. I make a mistake. But even in making mistakes, I got to realize how my response needs to be. Because no matter what I do, no matter what I try to, God has an expected end for them. He has an expected end for me. And if God has it set up that it's supposed to be a certain way, then what other way is better than that? I just need to pull up the brake and ride my track. Along the way, it's going to get bumpy. Along the way, I'm going to have to pull. Along the way, sometimes I'll coast. But I just got to ride the track out. Because God has something set up for me. As long as I hold on and do what I'm supposed to do. The Bible talks about those that didn't listen. It says they were like sour figs. It said those that didn't listen. That stayed scattered. That never came back. So those that went out there to do their own. But they never caught it while they was out there doing their own. And so they died, never seeing the promise. It's okay to have to go back through some stuff that you went through before. You didn't finish all the work the first time. This is the area God said he's going to bless you in. So go ahead and deal with it. I didn't finish school till I was 40-some years old. Well, you were supposed to finish a long time ago. But you wanted to go do it your way. You wanted to party in school. Instead of actually get your lesson. Get off my toes. Wanted to party instead of do all of that. But you came back around this time and you graduated the top of the class. Yeah. You went through a whole bunch of stuff you ain't had to go through. But once you finally got it together, gotcha. God works it out, amen. So what? His plan, what did we say? God works it out. God's plan never fails. Stay on track. I like that one. Stay on track. We're gonna go with today's sermon title is Stay on Track. Amen. Amen. Huh? And don't pull the brake. Don't stay on track. Don't pull the brake. Amen. That's it. Y'all got it. Stay on track. Anybody receive that? Amen. 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 Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. Stay on track. Don't pull a brake. Amen. Amen. Isn't it something how we can actually see where we've gone out there and try to do our own thing and we've